We can start at phase one, but most of the work we do is starting in phase three, you know, months or 12 months before PDUFA.
Yeah.
We can come in and do a quick analysis of the landscape, what's happening, and then really set up tracking. Okay, so our message is resonating with the doctors. You know, are patients getting to therapy earlier? Depending on what the objectives are, what the question is really how we set up the tracking.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is how to use artificial intelligence to convert big data into actionable insights. Now, obviously, taking big data and getting actionable insights is something that AI excels at. And there's various AI tools to do different components of this kind of project. Today, we're going to be exploring one that I think is quite interesting. My guest today is Mike Kalkus from Graphene AI. Thanks so much for being on the show, Mike.
And thank you for having me, Dr. Andre. I'm looking forward to talking to you today.
Me too. Could you tell me a little bit about your background and what led you to Graphene AI?
Sure. I'm a data-driven marketing person. I've been for many years. Background is started in advertising, moved to brand management and consumer packaged goods, and then went to Pfizer Pharmaceutical and was part of the Viagra launch team, which was an exciting time back in the day. Since that time, I've been involved in data collection, data analysis, and then coming up with data insights around the globe. That's my background. Yeah.
Nice. And then how did you get into Graphene?
Well, I stumbled upon them about 3 years ago. Actually, it's my confession. It's my 3-year anniversary at Graphene. Thank you so much. I stumbled upon them through a friend of mine who works in pharmaceuticals, a major pharma company. He's like, you have to talk to these guys. They got the most interesting decision-making platform that uses artificial intelligence. I'm like, well, what's artificial intelligence? And that was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then quickly learned the process. And what we do is we analyze spontaneous conversations that are happening and put themes to them and put them into insights. And it's 3 years ago when we started talking about this, when I would present to clients, they're like, yeah, I don't get it. Not really sure about it. You'll come back maybe in a few months. And now when we talk about it, everyone is excited about it. Everyone's talking about AI. So it's nice to be able to talk about something that everyone has on their mind, everyone cares about. So.
Well, you're preaching to the choir. I've been doing this for 20 years. So can you imagine what it was like in the beginning?
Wow.
It's like AI, isn't it? Robots? What's that got to do with pharmaceuticals? So yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. But at least now people kind of get this. I mean, yeah. I know ChatGPT did everyone a favor because it actually got AI into the conversation, which was nice.
It makes it really easy now to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, you know, people like, oh, ChatGPT. And like, well, that's generative AI, right?
Yeah.
So it's, but what we do is a little different. It's analytic AI. So we analyze conversations. We don't produce output, but we analyze what's happening. What are the true key things that doctors are thinking, what patients are thinking, and how do you use AI in today's pharma space? And that's something that people are now raising their hands, asking questions. Can I see how that works? Tell me more about it. And it's getting a lot of great pickup now, and it's really nice having conversations regarding this. So
that's interesting. So I'm assuming that you're using a combination of natural language processing and machine learning. Is that correct?
Yes, we mostly natural language processing.
Mm-hmm.
And we analyze, again, it's spontaneous conversations using machine learning and natural language processing in a way that we grade these insights on a 15-point Likert scale. So they're very, very sensitive. What the way we do it is it's both context and knowledge. And the key thing about what we're doing is that the engine, we've been doing this for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
And it's all about training the engine. And what we do is we train the engine on a daily basis, not just train it, but we keep a human in the loop. Yeah. And one of the most important things about what we do is having that human in the loop. So we have a subject matter expert. His name is Mohan, who used to work at a major pharma company. And he's our human in the loop that makes sure that we keep things ongoing, keep things right. And we also use physicians as well to make sure the data that we're having makes sense and is relevant. So
nice. And so what data are you using? So you said you're analyzing real like conversations that are happening potentially right now. Where are you getting all that data from to analyze?
That's a question we get most of the time. So we have hundreds of different data sources. So think about us as social listening on steroids.
Okay. Yeah.
But in pharmaceuticals, you know, social is not as much. We probably get about 5-10% of the data we get from social listening. Mm-hmm. But we have other data sources. Like PubMed data sources where doctors have discussions with other doctors. We look at longitudinal patient level data. We look at spontaneous conversations that are happening at congresses. And we purchase data as well to supplement what we're doing. But everything we do, most importantly, is anonymized and aggregated. Mm-hmm. There's no privacy issues. And that's a huge thing for us as a data company. GDPR, HIPAA, California privacy is really, really important. And we're ISO 27001 certified. Nice. So again, while we're listening to these conversations, it's aggregated and anonymized. So there's no issue. And that's really important to say. There's no issue regarding privacy at all. And that's a really important part of what
critical. What yes. Yeah. I mean, it's so important these days. And so I read on your website that your platform is Mavis.
Yes. Yeah, Mavis was designed actually really to focus on the pharmaceutical space.
Yeah.
And there's no acronym for it, but it was something that we had another platform that we had used. But Mavis was designed to really understand what doctors are thinking, feeling, and doing, and what patients and where they come into it, where they can come into the play. Where in the past, you know, working at a major pharma company, the physicians marketers are focusing on physicians. The patient marketers are focused on patients and consumers. But how do you integrate them together? And that's what Mavis does. It really understands what the doctor's thinking, what the patient's thinking on the same exact area.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of work in oncology, for example. And you see what's important for a physician on an oncology drug is much different than what's important for a patient on oncology. So, what our engine allows us to do is look at both sides of that. And that's what marketers really need to know is what, not just what the physician's saying or what the physicians think the patients are thinking, but what they both think together. And that's what, and that's where the engine comes into play.
So interesting. And so from, say you're a pharmaceutical insights person, how do they come with specific questions, or how does it all fit together from their perspective?
That's it. It is the question. And we start any project with what one question do you have? For example, I have a product that is coming out with a new indication. So the product is already out there, the molecule's out there, but what are people saying about this now? And we're supposed to launch in 6 months. And so what the engine does was we go in and analyze those conversations that are happening, even before a drug is approved.
Yeah.
Conversations are happening with the clinicians who are studying it in patients with clinical studies, in the MSLs, the medical service liaisons are talking about it before it's coming out. So they ask the question, what are people thinking, feeling, and doing? Tell me what they are from a patient perspective, and as well as payer. So payers are also part of that mix, because what are payers thinking about that? And traditionally, market research is not done using artificial intelligence with the payers. So we also have that customer group that allows us to understand what the questions are. So they come in with one question: what are people thinking, feeling, and doing? And we can come back to them with answers in a relatively short period of time.
And how short a period of time is that typically? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. That's why we're here. So from the beginning, so the way the process works, they ask a question. What we do is we call it quick dip analysis. So the question is, let's say we have a rare disease coming out, and are there enough conversations in the U.S.? So what we do is we do a quick dip analysis. So we go into we ask the engine, hey, are there doctors and patients talking about this indication? And how many are there? So if they're over 300, we know that there's enough data, enough physicians talking that allow us to have 95% confidence that we'll be able to get the insight. So once we check that box off, we say, okay, you know what? There are enough conversations.
Yeah.
For example, we were just asked the other day about talking about something where everyone's talking about now, which is obesity.
Yeah.
And with all the drugs coming out. So are there enough conversations in obesity? Let me tell you, there are thousands of conversations. That
maybe
are
tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands. And what are they talking about? Specific manufacturers, yes. Specific spokespeople. So we can get those insights. And so once we do that, we say we feel 95% confident we will do it. We will never take a project just from a graphene AI perspective. We'll never take a project that we can't get those insights on.
Of course.
We do a lot of work in rare and ultra rare disease. So, the engine's been trained enough to pick up those things. And that's why we get asked to do a lot of work in rare and ultra rare disease. So once we determine that there's enough data,
yeah,
we go and we ask the questions. And that's where we get those conversations. We train the engine on the indication. We train the engine on the output. And when we give it about 4 weeks until the engine comes back with its first cut.
Okay.
So the cool thing is that you get to do the cut. You present it. Here's the data we have. And then having that conversation with pharmaceutical marketer or the insights team is fantastic. They said, oh, this is really interesting. I didn't expect that. We didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And then we said, can we go deeper? And then sure. So then we go back another two. So we go deeper, peel back the onion, as we say,
and come up
with some better insights based on the direction and feedback from the team. So that's how we, so to answer your question, it's about a 6-week process from beginning to end to get those insights.
I'm guessing, though, that, and I don't know what your business model is, whether it's subscription or one-off, but I'm guessing that a subscription model makes sense because people constantly have potentially ongoing questions because, as you say, peeling the onion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great. So we have two different types of service offerings. One is one-off projects.
Yeah.
Let's do a landscape assessment on the digital platforms, who's talking on what regarding this on this condition.
Yeah.
That's one. The other one is tracking.
Yeah.
Tracking changes in sentiment. Tracking changes in prescribing habits. Changing the impact of messaging based on new creative. So that's a tracker. In the pharmaceutical space, you don't need to do it more than every 3 months.
Yeah.
In the consumer packaged goods, which we spend some time on, it's every month. Some clients, when launching new products, every week.
Okay.
The great thing about the technology is at the end of the month, the month ends on the 30th, we can have insights on the 5th of the month.
Okay. And
so the next, 5 days later.
Yeah.
And that, unlike other traditional market research techniques, it's 3 months after, it's 6 months later, you get the results. But ours is almost, we'll call it almost real time. So after the month ends, you can get some insights at the end of that month. So we do tracking, and it's every 3 months or every 6 months, really depending on the drug. Is it a new product? Is it an established product? Is it LOE? So it really changes based on where the drug is in its life cycle.
Yeah. And speaking of life cycle, how early do you come in, like at phase two all the way through, or how early do pharma engage with you?
We can start at phase one, but most of the work we do is starting in phase three, months or 12 months before PDUFA.
Yeah.
We can come in and do a quick analysis of the landscape, what's happening, and then really set up tracking. Okay, so our message is resonating with the doctors. Are patients getting to therapy earlier? Depending on what the objectives are, what the question is really how we set up the tracking on that.
But, okay. Yeah. And what about, so you've got all these data sources. Can you specify, or could the client specify specific segments of target people that they're interested in? Like, I only want to listen to these doctors in this place, in this space.
That's a great question. That's a great question. We go from a HCP perspective, we can look at doctors by specialty. So let's say in oncology, we want to look at all people who are hematologists, hematologists, oncologists. We can look at them. There's 400 of them. So we can analyze what they're doing and understand what they're doing. We can do Northeast as well. What in the doctors in the North, high prescribing doctors in the Northeast, what are they doing? A lot of the work we do also is around KOLs, key opinion leaders or influencers, depending how what you call them. But they're the ones who are actually posting live information. They're the ones who are actually stating, and we can understand what they're doing and rank them on most likely to be favorable to your product or not. Some KOLs are paid for and others just talk about a product because they know it and they work on it. Yeah. So it allows us to really understand what they're happening as well. Yeah. And conversely, there's also patient influencers. And they're the ones that are sometimes very telling, and they'll tell it like it is, and understanding what they, and sometimes good, sometimes bad, but what AI does, at least from our side, is it tries to be unbiased. Yeah. And it takes those unbiased insights. And the way our engine works is you don't ask a question, but you listen to conversations and come up with the questions based on what you're hearing. And that's a different way. So the bias comes out. Because if you ask me a question, Mike, do you like Pfizer's drugs? I'm like, of course I like Pfizer's drugs. I work there. But then I may turn around and say someone else, you know what? I used to like Pfizer drugs, but I don't like them so much. So it takes away from the bias. And so what we provide is those truly true unbiased insights.
And how long does it take to set up? So it's about 4 weeks for the first listening part, but does it take like a day to set up, or how quickly do you set it up?
Well, once we do a quick dip analysis and say, yes, we can answer that question, that takes 3 days, by the way.
That takes 3 days.
That takes 3 days. And then we come back and we complete a brief. And the brief is, what question do you want answered? Mm-hmm. And more importantly, what are you going to do with the answer and with the information once you get it? Yeah. What changes will you make? So once we do that, we put that into the engine. So the engine's trained for 2 weeks about. And so the engine's trained. We have a lot of experience in a lot of different categories. So depending on if it's a new category, the engine will require additional training. And that's where the subject matter comes in. The physicians come in a couple of weeks. And then 2 weeks later, that's when we get the first output. So it's a fairly quick process. Mm. As long as you know what questions you want answered, and more importantly, what are you going to do with the information once you get it, the easier it is for us to train the engine. So
absolutely. Yeah. And so say you've got the end of the 4 weeks, like you finish on the 30th, for example, and you said then you can get the answers on the 5th. Is that, are you using AI to do the analysis as well?
Yes.
You are? Okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Right. And the engine's been trained to take the analysis, put themes to it, and then present to take the text and put into numbers. So it's pretty cool stuff. And most of the clients who receive the information are like, wow, I did not expect this, and this is great. Can we go deeper? And so that's those conversations that we have. And the interesting thing is that we have both the marketers, the commercial team, and now we're getting more involved with the medical teams as well.
Yeah.
Because the way they put together questions, the way they get their data is a little bit more manual. And now they're seeing the value of this as well, understanding what the doctors are thinking, feeling, and doing, and then segmenting them based on who they are, based on their personas.
You know what? I have just done a project, and this just made me think of it, where one of the challenges the team wanted to solve was to get early signals from the market. And this is the medical team, early signals from the market about, you know, changes in the doctor's thoughts about new treatment regimens, or, you know, just whatever's coming out of the market. So this would be a way, wouldn't it, to get that early signal of what they're talking about in specific spaces.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not just that, but we also know what platforms that they're looking at, what platforms they're listening to. And that's a big thing for the media companies. Where do you want to spend your money? You know, and a lot of people are talking omni-channel, multi-channel. And I've been doing we used to call it relationship marketing back in the day, right?
Yeah, so, I remember.
In fact, one funny story, I remember presenting to a client, and I said, you know, this relationship marketing, there's three parts to it. There's acquisition, there's conversion, and then there's retention. And this is the president. He's like, no, we can't call it acquisition. That's a managed care. That's a payer strategy. Okay. So let's call it something else. So the point is, that's when we started talking about it. But now there's so much data out there. Now there's so many different ways to talk to physicians that understanding what they're thinking, feeling, and doing is really critical. And what channels they prefer, you know. And you'd be surprised that some people, like, I love my sales reps, or I don't care about them. Just leave me, you know, leave me something, or let me order it myself. And we'll be able to really track those kind of things. But to your point, yes, you can track early sentiment. And that's why a lot of the companies are using us. You know, before we launch, what's happening out there? What's the current state of things? What's the current version of the truth? What are people thinking? And allows us to come in and say, here's, and then we can segment those prescribers. And the cool thing is that we can prescribe them people who are more likely to prescribe, neutral, or will not allow you, will not prescribe.
Yeah.
And by segmenting them on those three, pretty much set, well, I guess it's more of a profile. Profile them on, I will likely prescribe, I may not prescribe, or I won't prescribe. It allows you to add to what a lot of the traditional market researchers are doing, where they start segmenting based on who they are, high prescribing decile, physician, whatever. But this gives us more context with which to know from a behavioral perspective what they're doing.
It's really replacing a lot of the old-fashioned stuff, isn't it? So in the old days, you might have the really old days, you'd be having people calling up on the phone, wouldn't you, asking questions?
Or actually, I had a meeting a couple weeks ago with someone who started market research. His mom started market research out of their basement, and they went door to door to get information.
Okay, that's even taking it
even further back. I didn't mean to do that. I should not have done that, but I apologize. That's how far back
it's true. Because I was going to say the old days of online, filling in an online survey, but we've gone way further back.
that's kind of fairly recent, but I went back to the 60s there, and I apologize for doing that. But my parents were in market research. My father worked for an advertising agency, worked on some liquor accounts.
Yeah.
And my mother would recruit people on the telephone, have them come to my house, do focus groups talking about liquor. And I would lean over the banister and listen to what they're saying. Oh, I drink this and I drink that. And so that was when I'm 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I'll fast forward. And now with artificial intelligence, it's amazing how much we've
totally
progressed.
Changed. Absolutely.
One thing we don't do, just I'll make sure we don't. So one thing our company will not do or doesn't do is take, let's say, an ad and then put it up and concept test it. We won't do concept testing.
No, you're collecting the real data. Yeah, the real world. It's basically real world data, isn't it?
It's real world data. And we do it super fast, and most of the time it's less expensive than traditional market research. But I just want to make sure I told you what we don't do, because sometimes that's even more important than what you do.
It is definitely, you need to, because otherwise, totally. And so it's really replacing that online surveys. It's really replacing the analysis, a lot of the analysis as well. Yeah. Obviously, you've still got a human in the loop, but it's that automating that real world data. It's really a shift, isn't it, in how market research is done, and everything is moving in that direction.
Everything is moving in that direction. People and the use of artificial intelligence in today's world, again, it's not about replacing people. It's about making their lives easier by increasing productivity.
Absolutely.
And being able to focus on other things as well. So, yeah.
And I saw that you handle 55 languages.
Yes, I only speak three myself, but the AI engine speaks 55. Everything from Chinese, Japanese, Russian, Arabic, and we do a lot of work across the globe. U.S. is our most important English is obviously the most important market, but we speak 55 different languages. Yes,
that's very cool. So for global teams, it's really impressive.
The global team, many times how we start would be let's go to some English speaking countries first, let's do the analysis, and then can we then make it global? And the answer to that is yes. In fact, most of our projects we do with global teams include from China to India, Australia, Russia, not as much Russia anymore, sorry, but that wasn't a political statement at all. But sometimes you don't get allowed to get data. In fact, we can't get data in Kazakhstan, and I think there's one other country that we can't. But we can collect data in almost every single country in the world. So
that's very cool. Yeah. And so, what would be the main sorts of questions people bring to you, pharma bring to you to look at?
So the questions they come there's a few of them. One is we deal with the consumer side, the patient side, the physician side, as well as the payer side. So I'll start with the payers, right? Because that's a little bit of a different area where a lot of people don't do a lot of research there. But the payers are like, we have a product that's been on back order for many years, for 6 months. And a lot of the payers are now not wanting to pay for it. Tell me why, what's happening, in the marketplace? What are they thinking? So that's one area. From a physician perspective, a lot of our clients are looking at competition. What's the competition doing? How are we doing versus competition? Not just looking at from like IQVIA, prescribing data, but what are they thinking, feeling, and doing? So can we get those insights? Because we're coming up with a new campaign. We want to understand what the current messaging is and how we need to change it. So can you help us there? So that's regarding messaging. And then from a consumer patient perspective, it's more about the support they're getting, from the drug manufacturers, from the specialty pharmacies. Are they getting enough information to help them start therapy and then stay on therapy? Yeah. And so those are the kind of areas where a lot of the questions are asked.
With the payers, it just occurred to me, would you be able to get insights into particular formulary groups and what they're talking about? Or am I pushing it?
No, we could get some. Again, it really depends on number of people having conversations.
Yeah, of course.
That's a big part of what's happening. There's shifts in the formulary. Here's what's happening around the shifts here. Probably more so, with rare and ultra rare disease.
Yeah.
And we're doing some work in that area as well. Some companies have been purchased in the lower prices of certain things. So, or you raise the price, what's happening now? So that's where we can get those insights and do it quickly too. We're thinking about taking a price increase. What's the current feeling? What's the current sentiment? Around pricing in this therapeutic area for this drug with this company. So we can get to those insights fairly quickly.
Very, very cool. I think this will be of great interest to a lot of listeners, actually, because this solves a lot of those challenges. And one of the things I hear, all the time is in terms of frustration with market research is, firstly, going through all the compliance steps to actually ask the questions, which you don't actually ask the questions, you listen. And then the other step is it takes so long, you put it in the field and then several months later it comes back, then it gets analyzed. And it's such a lengthy process that by the time the data is back, it's out of date. Whereas yours is so fast and hits the pulse, doesn't it?
It really does. And that's a great point. We move quickly. Which is important for a lot of our manufacturers. And we do it in a way that's easy, just ask us the questions. We'll make sure we can do it. And that way, when we come back to present, they can just focus on the data, focus on the insights and do it quickly. And it's a lot of clients are been happy. Almost all our clients are happy with the output.
Yeah.
And they come back for more. And in fact, a lot of our clients actually, if they leave, in the pharma business, people tend to move around a little bit.
Yeah.
And every time someone moves, they say, "Can you come in and help me here?" And
my that's next company. Yeah.
That's my next. So that's something that we, and we're in the long game. This is, it's a small industry, and it's a great industry. And the more you can do to help marketers and help companies with insights in a way that's easy, that's great, because it's so difficult in today's environment.
Yeah.
It's getting harder and harder. So how do we make things easy for the manufacturers? How do we make it easy for the performance and insights teams as well as the marketers? So that's kind of where we like to spend our time, is helping make things easy and answering those hard questions that you can't sometimes get answers to.
Fantastic. Well, I really love it. I'm so pleased that I've had you on today, because I think it's so interesting. And for any listeners that want to know more, you can actually go to Grapheme AI by going to GRAPHENESVC.com. And there you can see everything that Mike and his team are doing, and you can reach out to Mike. So
Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate that. I hope this was helpful, and I look forward to continue our conversations in the very near future.
Likewise. Me too. Thank you so much.
Okay, cheers. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.